Okay. Case 083216, United States versus Ramirez.
May it please the court.
Mr. Ravitz.
Good morning, Judge. May it please the court, Mr. Burke, Ed. My name is Gary Ravitz. It's my privilege today to address you on behalf of B. Ramirez, who was convicted after a jury trial of fraud. Our essential claim in this appeal is that the jury verdict of guilty is not reliable due to trial error relating to the ostrich instruction. Consequently, we're asking this court to vacate her conviction and to grant her a new trial. Before I get started, I have one request to make. If I seem uncomfortable up here, I tweaked my back yesterday. It's not the company. And I would ask the court's indulgence when I'm concluded, if I can just kind of stand off to the side. I'm having a great deal of difficulty sitting down here today, and I'm afraid.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
You can lie down if it would help.
I'd suggest go to the chiropractor, but Judge Rovner would disagree.
In any event, Ms. Ramirez has raised two fundamental claims relating to the ostrich instruction. One is whether the instruction ought to have been given in this case. And I guess, in essence, a short version is that we believe it should not have been given because even if she had some suspicions, there was no evidence that she sought to consciously avoid knowledge, as that term has been defined in this court's case law.
She testified, right?
She did. My position on that, Judge, would be that the mere fact she testified would not warrant the ostrich instruction. Now, I would say that in this case where she testified and denied knowledge, certainly it's a factor that would be factored into the equation. It would be a factor that might even militate in some cases in favor of that instruction. But I don't think this court's ever put that fine point on it in its cases, that the mere fact the defendant testifies and essentially denies guilt warrants an ostrich instruction. And I would say in this case, although Ms. Ramirez indeed testified and indeed denied knowledge, what's missing here is the evidence of her active attempts to avoid discovering the truth. In fact, what the evidence shows is that she did approach his fellow Uribe on at least several occasions and made inquiries of him.
Well, when she testified, I assume they keep asking her, didn't you see this? And, you know, going through process, and she's saying, no, I didn't understand. The jury's hearing her denied knowing that there's something fishy going on, right?
Yes, she was asked point blank, did you know about this fraudulent scheme? And she testified she did not. Now, certainly, I think the government explored that on her cross-examination. And in addition, we have this unusual circumstance where B testified without a lawyer being present, without any grant of immunity, voluntarily, if you will, in front of a federal grand jury. And her testimony was introduced by the government without objection by us. We wanted the jury to consider everything in this case. So they not only had the jury not only had the benefit of the directed cross-examination and trial, but also the benefit of her testimony previously before the federal grand jury in this case. And I think most of the points that you're alluding to were raised in the course of her testimony both here and in the grand jury.
Now, if I recall, she did not deny the events. She admitted to being present at some closings and showing houses to people who weren't the people who showed up at the closings and so on and so forth. But she denied the import or the effect of those events. Isn't that right?
Yes, and I think there's really no evidence, flipping it around, given the fact that at that time certainly was the government's burden, there was no evidence that she consciously avoided learning the truth. Now,
but there was a lot of evidence that she must have known what was going on, right?
That gets to the second issue, though, Your Honor.
Right.
That gets to the issue of whether the district judge erred. Let's assume for sake of discussion that the evidence here warranted giving an ostrich instruction. I still respectfully suggest the district court committed a reversible error when he refused at our request to give the language relating to negligence. And I think your Honor's question gets exactly to that point. You know, the language regarding negligence is not necessarily a sword for a defendant to say, I'm not guilty because, you know, maybe I should have looked harder, I was just negligent. It's a shield, too.
It's to avoid the shifting the burden to,
yes,
to the defendant.
And, in fact, I think this court's spoken to the danger of the ostrich instructions. It kind of invites the jury to make a determination, as you say, she should have known. There's enough there,
right,
to say somebody,
right,
should have known something.
But I guess what troubles me here is there's so much evidence that she knew, that there was knowledge, that the whole ostrich thing is pretty harmless, that even if the judge was wrong about the ostrich instruction, there was so much evidence of knowledge that it just overwhelms the ostrich issue.
I would respectfully disagree with that assessment of the evidence. I'll tell you why. I think that the ordinary knowledge instruction would have been sufficient to put before the jury the circumstantial evidence that, from which a jury might have concluded that B, in fact, knew what time it was and committed this offense. But in terms of direct evidence of her guilt, I think the record is somewhat lacking in that regard. Let's consider the sources. First, you have the testimony of Mr. Cruz, cooperating co-defendant in the case. But really, a careful analysis of his testimony does not indicate that he is aware directly of anything. Example, he's at a closing. He says, I talked to Uribe. He told me B was going to show up, and he was going to fill her in on the details. So he says he observes Ms. Ramirez enter the room. She waves at him, and then she goes off with Uribe to have a conversation outside. That's not direct evidence that she's in the know. To the extent there is direct evidence, there are two sources. One would be Uribe, obviously.
That's pretty good evidence, if you believe him.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because Uribe here is not only obviously the consummate con man. I mean, there's no question about that. But you have this kind of glaring gap in the government's proof. Namely, he decides he's going to cooperate. He actually, I think, helps him get Cruz.
And he doesn't mention her in his initial...
In a detailed grand jury statement put together by him, his high-priced private lawyer and the government prosecutor and a government agent, never once mentions Ms. Ramirez. Now, this is the brains. This is the organizer. This is the guy who thought up the scheme, and yet he doesn't seem to know who the participants are. Later on, when his memory gets better and better at the time of trial, this is on the heels of him having not only duped customers, duped, I submit, Ms. Ramirez and others, tried to dupe the government and even the district judge before being sentenced while he's committing another crime in the District of Florida. This is one sharp fella. And so, yeah, I guess he says that B's in the know. If that's sufficient, I'm not sure I can respond to that.
Well, watch your time.
Yes. I guess the other piece would be Ms. Ramirez's testimony. But in that regard, I think her knowledge was acquired after the fact. I think she testified to that. And I think the chronology of events suggests she was not interviewed until long after this case. And just the circumstances of her statements, her big forthcoming both with the agent in June 2006 and then later appearing before a federal grand jury without the protection of a lawyer and apparently without a target letter in the fall of that year, I think runs contrary to the notion that there's a lot of direct evidence of her guilt in this case. I have a little time left. I'm going to reserve it unless Your Honors have any questions about these issues.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mr. Burke.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court, Matt Burke on behalf of the United States. The District Court did not abuse its discretion in this case in issuing the ostrich instruction because there was sufficient evidence from which a jury could conclude that the defendant consciously avoided learning the truth. The defendant was a real estate broker in 7 fraudulent transactions conducted in the spring and summer of 2005. And in each of those 7 transactions, The defendant was the person who went out with her clients to locate the properties that would be the subject of these transactions. She knew her clients' names. She knew the people who would be taking possession of these properties. And yet when it came time for her to fill out the purchase contracts for each of these 7 transactions, she left them blank. She then sent them off to Luis Uribe, the head of the fraud scheme in this case. And when the contracts came back, they did not have Ms. Ramirez's clients' names as the purchaser, but instead had someone listed that Ms. Ramirez had never known, someone who Ms. Ramirez had never heard of, and someone that Ms. Ramirez knew would not take possession of the property.
And then when she went to at least 3 of the closings, somebody else shows up that's not even the people who signed the documents, and she knows who they are.
That's exactly
so
right.
So I understand she knew what was going on. What did she do to avoid any knowledge? That's the problem I'm having here.
Well, Your Honor, I don't believe there was evidence at trial of outward physical manifestations of the defendant cutting off her personal...
Right. She didn't skip a closing to avoid something
I don't believe there's evidence of outward physical manifestations. However, This court's case law says that purely psychological avoidance can be sufficient to warrant an ostrich instruction.
But here she's simply denying the effect of this information she had, isn't she? She's not avoiding obtaining information.
Well, Your Honor, I think she did deny knowing of it, but I think the question is whether or not, judged in the light most favorable to the government, the jury could look at this evidence, the circumstantial evidence surrounding her, and conclude that based on what she knew, that she subjectively was suspicious and yet closed her eyes to the truth. And so while I agree with you, I don't believe there is evidence of outward physical manifestations. This court's case law says that you don't need to demonstrate outward physical manifestations. You don't need to have the defendant admitting, yeah, I was suspicious. What you need is you need to have sufficient evidence of circumstances known to the defendant from which a jury reasonably could conclude that she subjectively was suspicious.
Well, wasn't her defense essentially that despite the irregularities, she really just didn't realize something fraudulent was going on?
Well, that was her defense, Your Honor, but that does not undermine the appropriateness of the ostrich instruction.
Because what was it that caused you to ask the ostrich instruction?
Well, Your Honor, I think it was a combination of both, number one, the red flags that were presented to the defendant, the fact that the wrong names were on the purchase contracts, the fact that all of the referrals were from the same source, Luis Uribe, somebody who's not somebody who was buying or selling property, you know, the suspicious spike in her compensation, combined with the defendant, number one, taking the stand and denying knowledge at trial. But it's not just that she took the stand and denied knowledge at trial. It's that she admitted, yes, I knew of the fact that my client's names were not on these purchase contracts. Yes, I knew that these people lacked credit. Yes, I knew that all these people were not able to qualify for mortgage financing in my own name. The role of the ostrich instruction was to advise the jury, well, just because she claims that she didn't know, if you conclude that she was subjectively suspicious and yet refused to then confront the reality that this was all a big fraud, she's still a knowing participant as defined under the law. That was the office of the ostrich instruction.
Then why not the negligence mm-hmm. sentence?
Well, Your Honor, I don't know that that language explicitly disavowing negligence would have harmed things in this case. The government did object, and at the time the government's position was that there really had not been any suggestion by any witness or by counsel or any evidence introduced to support a negligence theory. I don't know that language would have harmed things in this case. However,
so Your Honor, why do you fight against these things?
Well, Your Honor, I think at the time the government's view was that there was no evidence to support a negligence theory,
I guess the trouble I have is if there's not a need for that negligence provision, why did you need the ostrich instruction at all? You had so much evidence, if believed, that she had knowledge. She did not. It's difficult for me to see what she avoided knowing. She knew everything she needed to know.
Well, Your Honor, I do believe that the circumstantial evidence, and as this court's case law points out, evidence can have dual purpose here. It can be used both to prove direct knowledge and also to prove conscious avoidance. And I think that a fair interpretation of the evidence, both presented by the government and combined with the defendant's own admission that, yes, I was aware of these things, that is sufficient circumstantial evidence from which a jury could find that she subjectively was suspicious and yet refused to face the facts, refused to face the reality. But turning to your...
That's not what ostrich is about, refusing to face the reality. It's refusing to do things that would give you more information.
Well, let me give you one example. The defendant on the stand at trial admitted that she had a conversation with Luis Uribe in which she said to Luis Uribe, the head of the fraud scheme, how is it that you can use the same names over and over again? And his answer was, well, it's because credit reporting agencies are slow to update the records, and therefore everything is okay. Now, according to her, she didn't then ask the next question, well, wait a minute, doesn't this mean that we're making misrepresentations to loan originators? Doesn't this mean that we're getting away with something? And it's the failure to ask that next question. Or it's the fact that she continued to do business with Luis Uribe after these transactions took place, and that is a circumstance that the jury could look at and say, okay, she was suspicious, she didn't want to know the answer to the next question, and therefore she didn't ask it. But turning to your other point, Your Honor, I agree, all of this evidence tends to prove, or the government's position tends to prove, both conscious avoidance, but also tends to prove direct knowledge, which is why if the court concludes that the ostrich instruction should not have been given, it's harmless. We have testimony from Luis Uribe saying the defendant was well aware I told her explicitly what was going on. We have testimony from Rafael Cruz, another member of the fraud scheme, saying the defendant laughed about this. I told her that I was using fake IDs and showing up at these closings, and she knew I was posing as someone else. And then the defendant's own statements to the FBI during the course of the FBI's investigation, wherein she told the FBI, key details about the nature of the fraud scheme that up until that point the FBI had not known, details that only a person who was a knowing participant in the scheme would have known. To the extent that,
not very smart, is she?
Your Honor, I can't comment on her intelligence.
Well, everyone else has throughout the trial, so why can't you? Mary Roberts. Isn't that her name, Mary Roberts?
Mary Roberts was her boss, Your Honor. Yeah. But one last point. Again, back to that conversation with Luis Uribe. To the extent that evidence is exclusively evidence of direct knowledge, Ms. Ramirez admitted that conversation happened. She admitted it on the stand at trial. And so if the only way to interpret that piece of evidence is as evidence of direct knowledge, then what we have is Ms. Ramirez admitting direct knowledge on the stand at trial, which means that at worst we have harmless error in this case. I'd be happy to answer any additional questions you may have.
So in other words, any time you have a defendant admitting certain things on the stand, you can have that ostrich instruction?
Well, Your Honor, what I would say is that I believe that admission on the stand has multiple interpretations. It can be interpreted, number one, as an admission of direct knowledge, but it also can be interpreted as knowledge of a highly suspicious circumstance from which a jury reasonably could conclude that she was suspicious, but she didn't want to ask the next question.
She's highly suspicious and they set up a scenario, and she says she interprets it differently than the obvious. She might say, oh, no, I thought it was this and this, and I was doing this, et cetera. This is a routine thing, blah, blah, blah. When everybody else is hearing, say, boy, that's pretty hard to believe. Now, I don't know whether that's conscious avoidance or an excuse for doing something you knew was wrong. I don't know.
Your Honor, I do think it's evidence of conscious avoidance because it's evidence that she is aware of a highly suspicious circumstance. And so I think that conversation is one piece of evidence that justified the ostrich instruction. But what I'm saying, back to your question, Judge Roedner, if there is only one way to interpret that conversation, if that piece of evidence exclusively goes to direct knowledge, that's the only way to interpret it. And I don't believe that it is. But if it is, then we have the defendant on the stand admitting a conversation about direct knowledge, which demonstrates that she's admitting guilt on the stand, which is very strong evidence that we have harmless error in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. I would ask this court affirm.
Mr. Rabbits.
Thank you. Let me just respond to a couple of points that Mr. Burke makes.
I guess first I think there is evidence of negligence in the record. And the evidence consisted essentially of Mary Roberts' testimony explaining that Ms. Ramirez was a relatively inexperienced real estate salesperson, and she was asked her opinion and gave her opinion that B was both trusting and a bit naive. And I respectfully suggest that that evidence would have supported the negligence language. But more to the point, I guess, in listening to Mr. Burke, he tells us that about this meeting she had with Uribe and Uribe's explanation about the credit reports. And he says, well, she didn't ask the next question, and that shows conscious avoidance. I respectfully submit it may show she was negligent, too, in not asking that question. And so what was taken from the jury in this case was a third avenue. That is, if she's negligent, she's not guilty. And that is what this language was that the trial judge omitted from the instruction. The last sentence basically says you may not find the defendant guilty if she was merely negligent. Now, we can argue about whether the evidence shows she was merely negligent. But the jury wasn't given that option. And that's why the verdict in this case, I think, is unreliable and is undermined by the trial court's errors. That's why I think a new trial is the only solution in this case. I see my time's up. If the court has any questions?
You have another minute, Mr. Abbott, if you want it.
Judge, I have all... Oh, that's okay. Other than that, I really have nothing to add to it, frankly. If you have some more questions, I'll be happy to answer them now.
Well, let me just say this. Of course, the case is going to be taken under advisement. You were court-appointed,
yes.
Mr. Ravitz, and you really have our thanks. As always, you did a wonderful job for your client. And as always, the government did a wonderful job for its client. But as I'm noting of late, you get paid, he doesn't. Thank you. Go home, take the hottest bath you can, and just lie in the bathtub for like 6 hours.
I'm actually missing my back.
Oh. All right, I've been overruled by some doctor. Thank you, everyone.
You forgot about the paragraph.
What?
You
forgot about the paragraph. Yeah. The doctor is not a chiropractor, is he?
No.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay.